Good morning. Got any veterans here today? Raise your hand. Stand up. I'm standing up. Thank you for your service. Veterans Day is Tuesday. If you're a veteran, you know what that means. If you're not, I hope you know someone who makes you think a little more about what it means to be a veteran. Pray for our veterans. I lost a good friend just 2 days ago in the Marine Corps. He was in the Marine Corps. He died at way too young without kidneys up at the VA in Salisbury. And I'm going to think about him this week. Well, we're into talking about the senses. Today we're going to talk about vision. I want you to turn to Luke 17. We'll start with verse 11. We're going to read two different stories, one long, one short, and we're going to talk about them. Luke 17, starting with verse 11, that's the story of Jesus cleansing the 10 lepers. And then there'll be a second story about the coming of the kingdom. On the way to Jerusalem, he was passing along between Samaria and Galilee. And as he entered a village, he was met by 10 lepers who stood at a distance and lifted up their voices saying, "Jesus, Master, have mercy on us." When he saw them, he said to them, "Go and show yourselves to the priests." And as they went, they were cleansed. Then one of them, when he saw that he was healed, turned back, praising God with a loud voice, and he fell on his face at Jesus' feet, giving him thanks. Now he was a Samaritan. Then Jesus answered, "Were not 10 cleansed? Where are the 9? Was no one found to return and give praise to God except this foreigner?" And he said to him, "Rise and go your way. Your faith has made you well." Being asked by the Pharisees when the kingdom of God would come, he answered them, "The kingdom of God is not coming with signs to be observed, nor will they say, 'Look, here it is,' or 'There.' For behold, the kingdom of God is in the midst of you." These are the words of God. And may he add his blessing to this partial reading of his holy word. Let's pray together. Good morning, Father. Thank you for being here with us this morning. Thank you for being at the front door to welcome us, at the same door to say goodbye to us. Thank you for walking out with us when we leave. Thank you for being right at our shoulders this morning as we hear from your word. And now may the words of my mouth and the meditations of every heart here be acceptable in your sight. O Lord, our strength and our Redeemer. Can you see Jesus? When I was at the bank some time back making a deposit, I saw a little plaque by the teller window. It intrigued me, and I commented on it. It belonged to one of the tellers, a nice young woman named Rita. When she saw me admiring it, she was surprised. I can't tell you why right now, but stay with me. We'll get to that. All will be revealed in a few moments. I was so intrigued that I asked Rita if I might borrow it. She said no, but she gave it to me. So today I want to share it with you. I'm going to pass a couple reproductions around, and I want you to take a look and see what it says. Cindy's got one, Lauren's got one. Take it in your hands. If you don't see it here, see it there. See what you see. And I'll make fluff here for a little bit while we're looking at it. if you see anything special, keep it to yourself. And once you've looked, pass it on to the next person. Now, some of you are going to see this right away, and some of you are going to think it's a foreign language. And it's not. Now, if you saw a word, I want you to raise your hand. Hi, come on. Don't be embarrassed. Keep them up. It's good for your circulation. How are we doing? Are we there yet? Norman sees it. He's bound to see it. He's ordained. I see people going. All right. This plaque has a word on it. It's plain as day if you see it. But until you do, it looks like so much more scribbling or a foreign language, doesn't it? I realize some of you may not see the image. How many did not see it? I don't need them, you keep them. Well, give me one of them. Anybody not see it? Whoa, that's impressive. Okay. I'll just park this right here. How many of you didn't see it at first? More normal. As I wrote today's, at the time I wrote today's message, I showed it to Cindy. She's turning it every way, including backwards. Couldn't figure out what in the world it was. Of course, she sees it now. And that's the way we are about a lot of things. Sometimes the brain just locks in. And once it does, we're unable to see anything different. Yes, the brain sees, doesn't it? And if that's happened to you here, that means that you're not likely to see that image without some help. While most of you saw it, some couldn't at first. Rita was surprised because I saw the message right away. Most people don't. I just happened to look at it the right way at the right distance. But once I saw it, I couldn't resist using it. It seemed to me a perfect illustration of a simple but very important principle. If you want to be able to see, you must not only open your eyes, you must also open your mind. Last week we talked about whether God listens. It was my premise that God, it's not God who doesn't listen, it's us. We get so programmed on what constitutes an answer to us that we can't hear the answer when it comes in a different way or at a different time. And I think vision is a lot like hearing. They both have to do with understanding. Those of you who had trouble seeing the message on the plaque were suffering from a lack of understanding because your vision let you down. You were looking at the message, but you couldn't, or rather didn't, see it because you needed to have your vision adjusted. Now think about how many times you've been in a conversation and in answer to something being described or explained, what do you say? I see. There's nothing tangible there to see. And yet that's your answer. I see. Because really, we do see, don't we? In our mind's eye. It's like a synonym for I understand. We translate that cognitive act into language. We say, I see. Sure, I see that. Now, what did that plaque say? I can't hear you.
Jesus.
Oh, there you go. Jesus, and that's the message. And that's also the metaphor for today's message. Now you can see Jesus. Can you? Can you see Jesus? In Luke 17, Jesus was asked by the Pharisees when the kingdom of God was coming. That's a good question, isn't it? That's a question that was on the minds of the nation of Israel for 400 years. They looked for Messiah, the anointed one. Messiah would rescue the nation, restore its greatness, overcome its oppressors. That's the solution they were waiting for. That's the solution they were programmed for. So with the Pharisees, it may have been a question designed to trick Jesus, but in many ways it was a perfectly legitimate question. When is the kingdom of God coming? Asked the Pharisees. Jesus often answered questions of the Pharisees with another question, but not so here. This time he made statements. Jesus told the Pharisees that the kingdom of God is not some place you can walk to. It's not some place on the map That image of Peter Pan just jumped in my head. What is that line? Second star to the right and straight on to midnight. That could be plotted on a map, but not what Jesus, straight on to morning. Thank you. The kingdom is not some place where somebody sees it and goes, there it is, and then everyone else can see. And then Jesus said something so profound that theologians still argue about what he meant. Jesus looked at those Pharisees and he said, behold, which means see, behold, the kingdom of God is among you. What did Jesus mean? The kingdom of God is among you. First of all, Jesus is speaking of himself. In Luke 11, several chapters back, Jesus is on his journey to Jerusalem. We don't know his exact location. Luke just tells us that Jesus was praying in a certain place. This is the chapter where Jesus teaches his disciples how to pray. We now call it the Lord's Prayer. And Jesus is casting out demons. Rather than seeing those miracles for what they are, some people in the crowd are saying the miracle is the work of the devil. Beelzebub made him do it. Why in the world would you say such a thing? Why would you see a miracle performed that was done for good and think the devil would do such a thing? Others trying to test Jesus, asking for a sign from heaven. And what does Jesus say? The kingdom of heaven has come to you. Jesus is the sign, but they can't see him for what he is. Back to the passage at hand in Luke 17, in a response to a question from the Pharisees about when the kingdom of God is coming, Jesus says, it's among you. He warns about those who point to one place or another, saying that the kingdom is not a place, but a person. And that person stands before them. Theologian Howard Marshall explains it this way. Jesus is speaking of the presence of the kingdom of God among men, possibly as something within their grasp, if they will only take hold of it. The force of the saying may then be present or future. Well, we're starting to get into some heavy, tall grass here. But whether we look at the present or the future, the presence of the kingdom is always, always, unmistakably in the presence of Jesus. Is it here? Yes. Is it coming? Yes. It's not a where, it's a who. He is here and he is coming. How can that be? Remember Pentecost, the Holy Spirit filled the disciples of Jesus, as many as 100, with the Holy Spirit. And the Holy Spirit dwells in the hearts of men and women. Can you see Jesus? Of course you can. But you have to see with understanding. See with the eyes of the Holy Spirit within you. The question I asked by the Pharisees is like looking at that little plaque from the wrong distance. They can't see the forest for the trees. Fred Craddock. Norman knows who Fred Craddock is. Well, maybe not. You're too young. Fred Craddock wrote How to Write Sermons. Everybody goes to seminary gets a taste of Craddock. And he wrote that the Pharisees seek signs of the kingdom and its arrival while rejecting the real signs, the only real signs available. The presence of Jesus is the presence of the kingdom. Theologians call this realized eschatology. Well, that's worth a quarter. Eschatology being the study of the end times, and realized implying that it's present right now. Craddock explains it this way. Life eternal is to know God and to believe in the one whom God has sent. Life eternal is to know God and to believe in the one whom God has sent. I think you could say that inverted, and it's still true. To believe in the one whom God has sent is to know God. That gives eternity a presence. Think about that. As well as a future. We are living in eternity. That's not the question. The question is where we're going to spend the rest of it. Can you see Jesus? It's certainly the question that Luke was asking. When you look at today's scripture in context, you have two stories. The first is the story of the 10 lepers. I love this story. 9 are made clean. Keep reading because it says that only one was made whole. The Greek word for that is katharizo. It's different from being made clean. Yes, they were healed. Were they whole? No. This leper is not just cleansed, he's restored. And who is the one person in this story out of 10 from several different walks of life? Who is the one who has seen Jesus, has seen the truth of the gospel? He's a Samaritan. By far the most unlikely person to see Jesus. By today's standards, he would be a half-breed, an illegitimate, spoiled, illegal. But it's only the Samaritan who can see Jesus. And Jesus says to him, rise and go your way. Your faith has made you whole. The very next story involves the Pharisees. Now we're in high cotton. They're the studied, the pious, the religious leaders of the day. If the Samaritan can see Jesus, surely this group will see it at once. But they don't. What's the point? Well, it might be deceptively simple. Don't overthink. Don't make something simple into something complex. Can you see Jesus? He's standing here for us all to see. He's in God's word for all of us to read and understand. Can you see Jesus? He's in the everyday miracles that surround us from technology, which produces a miracle every nanosecond in my mind, to science, to the seeds of our crops that guarantee us food, and for some even our livelihoods. God is God the Son and God the Holy Spirit that resides within you this very moment, gently urging you daily to give in, to let go, and let God. What's on your mind right now? How many things are competing with you when you're trying to listen to this message? I've got stuff right now banging in the back of my head like, give me attention, don't do this. And that's part of our problem. We can see, but we have to let go of some stuff in order to be able to. The lesson of Luke's parallel stories here is that even a lowly, uneducated outcast can see the presence of God. Perhaps because he or she is not distracted by so many other things competing for attention. Perhaps because he or she is actually looking for that miracle. I gotta tell you a story. When I was in seminary, I went to seminary very late. Everybody was 20 years younger than me. But there was this one guy in his 30s that spent a lot of time in Nicaragua. He was from Raleigh. I went to seminary right down here at Gordon Conwell, so, you know, he was a North Carolinian. That was nice. And we got to talking over time, and he talked about his visits to Nicaragua. He was just beginning seminary, but he already had a mission in Nicaragua. He had built a mission down there. Guy was on fire. And we were talking about the difference between how we look at miracles in America and how they look at miracles in Nicaragua. Something came up, I can't remember what now, but it was like, you know, about faith healing. We've seen a lot of stuff on TV about televangelists doing this and people drop. I'm skeptical there. And he was too, but he said, you know, that's America. You've got a right to be skeptical here. We look at things differently. Come to Nicaragua. You'll see that every day. And it's real. And we really got down to talking about that several times. And it made me understand that in other areas of this world, some we might call less educated, less primitive, who knows? It just seems that this Holy Spirit is much more alive and well and visible than here in America. And yet we have the presence of miracles all the time. Been to a hospital in the last 5 years. The things they do there on a daily basis are absolutely amazing. It's like going to Sears. We can get knees, shoulders, ankles, a heart. My goodness, God ordained all that. We didn't get there by ourselves. And yet some of us say, oh, I've never seen Jesus. Take a look. And even an educated religious church person can miss the presence of God because he or she is too preoccupied with self, with the business of church. Triumph lies not in our own achievements, but rather in that journey to the cross to which we're all invited. And the church must take that lesson very seriously. When the church becomes so big as to become an institution, it ceases to be able to function as a movement. And it's only as a movement that the body of Christ can continue to spread the gospel. Can you see Jesus? If you're bogged down in too much church work, step away for a moment. If you're caregiving to the point that you can't pray anymore, step away. If you're involved in the material world so much that you can't make room for prayer or Bible study or worship time or church, step back. Give yourself time to adjust your vision. Jesus ended that story to the Pharisees with this observation. Whoever seeks to preserve his life will lose it. And that is the business in which we are in as America, is it not? We seek to preserve our lives. We have made insurance the biggest business in America. They call it life insurance. Think about that one. You got to die to get it. And whoever loses his life will keep it. It's sort of like learning what to look for before you try to find it. Can you see Jesus? He could not be more visible. You just might need to adjust your vision. Let's pray together. Father, help us use our senses. We've talked about seeing, and we've talked about listening. Two senses, more to go. Help us use them the way you meant for them to be used. They're gifts not only to deploy our resources in this world, they're also gifts to see and hear you. In Christ's name we pray. Amen.